You do?
For the rain?
Yeah, praise God for the rain. We got an inch and a half. we had a 2% chance of rain, and it rained an inch and a half. But you go down to Marfa, they didn't get any rain. Alpine didn't get any rain. Well, we got a good one. So we're living the blessed life. All right. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. We're going to get back on confession of God's word. And confession of God's word builds faith. Here's the thing. When I tell you to go memorize a scripture, get a scripture in your heart and meditate on that thing, you're saying it over and over and over again. You're not doing that to bend God's arm. You're not going to twist his elbow. You're doing that to build faith in your heart. See, how long did it take you to learn about computers?
I haven't learned yet.
Now,
still learning.
You're 70 something years old, and you're still learning. That's a natural man. I don't see how Christians get it in their head that they're going to know all this stuff in 30 days or 6 months or a year, when in reality, we're going to be learning about God for eternity. Kenneth Hagin preached on Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24 for 50 years or more. And he said he never got to the bottom of those two verses. See, but what we do is we keep feeding on those scriptures and we keep building our faith in those till eventually you'll speak forth what you believe. Amen? But that's how faith is going to come, is hearing the word of God. Confession is affirming something we believe. It is testifying to something we know. It is witnessing for a truth that we have embraced. Our confession should center around five things. Now, let's just stop right there for just a second. Remember, we confess what we believe. See, this is how you got born again. At some point in time, you were sitting somewhere and somebody said that Jesus died for your sins and that God raised him back to life. If you believe in your heart that God raised him back to life and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. And then you said some kind of prayer. You said what you believed with your mouth. That's your confession. Now, Paul said to hold fast your confession. Don't let your confession slide. This is where you're really going to have to control your tongue. Your mind might be racing 500 miles an hour inside your brain. You might be thinking 100 different thoughts. You're going to have to make sure that you don't let your soul run off with your mouth. It happens sometimes. If you don't believe me, just really, really smash your thumb sometimes. But here's the thing. Our spirit, we have to feed our spirit enough so that our spirit can have ascendancy over our soul and over our body, so that we can keep our confession in line with God's Word. And here's five things that I want you to think about. Five parts of confession. What God in Christ has wrought for us in His plan of redemption. What has God in Christ done for us? What God, through the Word and the Holy Spirit, has wrought in us in the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and now, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. That word gets confused sometimes, because when you say that verse, people picture Jesus, when you should be picturing the anointing. Christ is the anointed one. Christ is not his last name. That's what he is. Christ. Now, when you got born again and you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you became anointed. You see how that is? Now you're a little anointed one. Now you can do all things through the anointing which strengthens you. Remember, the Word is the source of the anointing through the Holy Spirit. The more Word you get in, the more that anointing falls on you. More revelation of the Word. Not just memorization. See, memorization did the Jews little to no good. They had the first five books of the Bible memorized. And they let Jesus just slip away. Third thing is what we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Understanding your sonship. You are not a lowly servant. That drives me nuts. Here's the thing you got to understand. In the Old Testament, when the father seen his son coming back, he ran out to greet him. And one of the things he did was put sandals on his feet. That shows sonship. You've been shod with the sandals of the gospel. Amen. Sandals of peace. Here's the thing. Servants didn't get to wear sandals. They ran around barefoot. The father didn't tell his servants his future plans. He tells his sons his future plans. You need to make sure that you're taking your correct position in Christ. Understanding your sonship or daughtership. Understanding you are a child of God. And you have access to information that a lot of the world just doesn't have. The Bible tells us to ask Him of things to come. Have you spent any time asking Him that? He said, let me know something that's coming down the road. The next thing is what Jesus is doing for us right now at the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's always right there making intercession for us. Remember that verse we read in Ecclesiastes, the time and chance verse? That's right happenings because somebody was praying for you. Your high priest. Ask him, said, protect me today. and cause me to be in the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to me. Then the next thing is what God can do through us, or what His Word can do through our lips. A lot of people don't spend much time thinking about what God can do through them, or what His Word can do through their lips. And when they get faced with a task, they say, well, no, it's just, God doesn't owe us that. Well, I know He doesn't owe you anything. But that's not what He said. He said He could do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. He said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. He's looking for somebody that will just step out into the impossible. Get out there. Quit worrying about what everybody else is thinking about them. Quit worrying about how they're going to get it done. Quit worrying about how they might fail. Quit worrying about what everybody else thinks. Get out there far enough where you can't do it, so that God can show up and show off and do something magnificent. And then you're standing there saying, only God could have done that. God gets the glory. People see that. He gets the praise. Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We're going to look at confession at work, which is preaching the word. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That verse says what it says. Go into all the world, every nook and cranny. Go to the bad part of the town. Go to the good part of town. Go to the poor part of town. Go wherever and preach the gospel to everybody. You cannot believe how many times I've seen people just scrub that scripture out of the Bible and say, they literally, I've had people tell me, I used to go down and witness the people in the flats. It's kind of a bad part of town in Midland. People get shot down there and stabbed, and a lot of activity down there, a lot of drunks, a lot of alcoholics. And I go down there and witness to people, and people would see my pickup down there and they said, was your pickup in the flats? I said, yeah. I said, man, we won't even stop in that part of town. I said, well, that's unfortunate for you, because that man down there has the best barbecue in town. So I'd go down there and witness to people and I'd eat. I actually have heard people say, I am called to go preach to the PRCA. I'm called to go preach to the PBR. Really? Good for you. And there would be a line of preachers a mile long standing in line to go preach to those places. But what about the people in jail? What about the people on the street? What about the people that don't have any money to put any money in the basket? Don't they need to get born again? I had one guy tell me he was anointed to preach to the extremely rich. These are Word of Faith people. These are not just people. These are people in the Word of Faith circles. And I said, really? And then racism takes part in churches too. I'll go witness to these white people over here, but man, I'm not going to talk to any of these black people. I'm not going to talk to these Mexicans. I'm not going to talk to these guys. The Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All of them. All of them. Every person that is breathing on this earth qualifies for salvation. Not all of them will receive it, but they all qualify. And whether you like to believe it or not, their name is wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. They may be in danger of getting that name blotted out if they don't receive salvation before they take their next breath. It gets blotted out. Because they did the one sin that will send them to the lake of fire. They rejected Jesus. Verse 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Right there, when you believe you get born again, you get baptized right there on the spot. You're baptized into the body of Christ. It doesn't say go jump in the water right there. There are three baptisms that you need to be concerned with. Number one, being baptized into the body of Christ. That's when you get born again. Number two, you can get water baptized, or you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you can get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then you can go get water baptized. Or you can get both of them at the same time. You can do that. What are you willing to believe God for? And then, verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow the word. Very important thing to get this in your head. Don't ever, under any circumstances, go chasing signs and wonders. Do not go chasing goosey, bumpy feelings. Go find the word. If the word is being preached, signs and wonders will follow. You can, however, have signs and wonders without any word at all. I've witnessed signs and wonders without the word being preached at all. See, the Bible tells us to watch out for lying signs and wonders. The devil can do signs and wonders. You know, the devil can give you goosebumps. And the devil can make the hair stand up on your neck. The devil can make you feel good all over. The devil can give you the nicest gift you ever seen in your life. And people buy into it all the time. But eventually, you're going to have to pay the piper. Actually, he's going to ask you to do something for him. And then that's where things go bad. Don't ever go chasing signs and wonders. When you land in an environment where there's a lot of commotion and a lot of stuff going on, and people may be raising their hands, there may be people laying on the chairs, there may be people shouting hallelujah, don't look at none of that. Look at who's up there talking and make sure they're preaching the word. If they're not preaching the word, gird your loins and get out of there. God works through us by His word through our lips. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature." That is the way God works through us. We carry the word to the lost. If we don't carry the word to the world, then we waste our time praying that God will do something. It's good to pray, but then you need to get your feet moving. In other words, it'd be useless to pray for someone who is lost if we do not also carry the gospel of salvation to him. Glenn Smith told the funniest story one time. Said there was a family of believers, and he'd known them for years, or quite a while, and he went up to this meeting, and the husband was a gruff old son of a gun, and he was at the meeting, and he had his feet sticking straight out of his chair, and Glenn went up there and booted him in the leg and said, "Hey, you want to learn something about Jesus?" The old man looked at him and said, "I've been waiting for somebody to tell me about this." And he got born again right there on the spot. His wife had been praying for him for years. There was people around him that could have told him about Jesus. You know, there's moms praying for their kids. Maybe they haven't been telling them about Jesus. Just praying for them. Just a thought. You know, if we could just pray and get people saved, we wouldn't have to send missionaries all over the world. We can just pray and get them born again. We could just pray all the heathen into the kingdom. However, the Holy Ghost works only in connection with the Word. The Holy Spirit is not going to do anything out of line with the Word. You have to understand, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they all agree. And they always agree with the Word. God holds His Word above His own name. That's how powerful the Word of God is. In obedience to Christ's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the disciples went forth preaching the word everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with signs following. God didn't do a thing. He didn't do one single thing until the disciples preached the word. Then signs followed. You see how that works? We can sit here and pray and pray and pray and pray for the things we need and want. But like that old story says, you know, the Holy Spirit, He'll help you mow the lawn. And He'll help you take a nap in the hammock. But He's not going to mow the lawn while you take a nap in the hammock. You're going to have to get your butt up and get moving and go do something with what you've been given. He works through people. Speaking of signs following, they do not follow an individual. They don't follow power preachers. They follow the word. Give the word out, and the signs will take care of themselves. Do not follow signs. Signs follow the word. You go to the word. You know, there's people that will sit and wait and wait and wait for some power preacher to come to a certain area, so they go to a meeting, have him pray for them. You know, you got believers all over the world that can pray for you. I guess sometimes that's where people, if that's what they believe for, then that's what they can believe for. Go for it. But you don't have to drive hundreds and hundreds of miles to get in touch with the anointing. Wherever there's a spirit-filled believer, the anointing is available. Amen? Our part is to believe. But we're going to have to use our mouth. We're going to have to get our feet moving and use our mouth. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh, look at something over there. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now you see why it's so important not to chase signs and wonders. You know, when I was in Midland, there would be flocks of people, call them church hoppers. Hundreds and hundreds of them moving to the next new thing. Man, this, you should have seen the praise and worship. It was just awesome. And they'd go there and it'd be the same old preaching. You know, One time, they started a non-denominational church, and it was just bringing in thousands of people. Literally, thousands of people. And they said, "Man, you got to go there. You got to see this. This is cool." They did have some really cool praise and worship, man. And when you get thousands of people singing, it was really cool. And I thought, well, that's cool. And then I listened to the preacher, and I thought, this dude's a Baptist. So I'm running around with spirit-filled believers, and they're just going crazy over this guy. And I thought, okay. So I went and asked my friend. I said, "Hey, this church over here, you know anything about this guy?" And he said, "Yeah, they broke off from the Second Baptist." I was sitting right there when they did it. Well, they're still Baptist. They just changed their name. But okay. See, you can discern. You can discern spirits. You can discern spiritual conditions of people and Christians too. I'll tell you one that really tripped me was I was drinking coffee in the oil. oil-filled cafe that we all went down and had coffee at, and I was sitting there drinking coffee with this guy. There's like 10 of them, and I thought, man, these guys are not right. And I kept drinking coffee with them, and this went on for several months. Finally, I looked at one. I found one I figured I could trust a little bit. And I said, "You Church of Christ?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "You Spirit-filled?" He said, "Yeah." So there was a bunch of Church of Christ guys that got the baptism of the Holy Spirit because their pastor got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he just kicked it out loose in the church. And he was casting out devils in church, too. And one of my friends, he was a hardline Church of Christ. He was as stiff as a board. He said, "I wish they would just have a traditional service," he said. He was Torah. He said, "Well, hang in there, bud. You'll be all right." God's bringing the church forward. Amen. Don't get too hung up on denominationalism. Just keep watching God bring the church forward. Pretty soon we're going to come together in the spirit of unity, not our doctrine. The spirit of unity. We'll finish with this verse. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Verse 13. "And he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." See why? God's not the only one that does signs and wonders. Here's the thing. The devil knows that people rely on their five natural senses. You're supposed to rely on the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But until a man is born again, that's all he has is his five natural senses. What he can see, taste, feel, touch, hear. God has to deal with people that way too, get their attention somehow. The devil knows if he can get their attention somehow. And he can get them to go in their way. So here's the thing. Somebody starts looking for an answer. And you need to understand that every single human being on the face of this earth, their spirit was in contact with the creative working God, the miracle working God. They have a craving for the supernatural because they were in that environment. They were in the presence of God before they got born on this earth. They have a craving for the supernatural. So they get wandering around. They want to see something happen. So they start at the church. They go there, and the church isn't doing anything. They don't see something. So they say, "Okay, we'll go over here. So here's some occult activity over here." And they make something happen. They see that, and they say, "Wow, it caught their attention." You can catch their attention. When you go somewhere, I'm going to tell on you, Pete, because this is too cool. Right happenings. This was a right happening. I needed a computer guy. Didn't have one. And my computer broke. I needed a computer guy for the church. Well, my computer, something happened to my computer, and I'm dumb as dirt when it comes to a computer. So anyway, I said, "Do you know anybody that can fix a computer?" And they said, "Yeah, there's this blind guy over there that fixes computers." And I said, "Well, that makes sense." So I knock on his door. He answers. I said, "Can you fix this thing?" He said, "Yeah, come on in." So went in there, and he starts looking at it and messing with it, and I started talking to him, you know, I'm just the way I am. I just started telling him stuff, and he said, "Well, I'm an atheist." I said, "Oh, okay." So I didn't say anything. So he got my computer fixed and said, "How much do I owe you?" And he said nothing. I thought, well, that makes sense. This atheist is going to bless me with a free computer to fix. Because they do that all the time. This is going through my mind. So, but can you talk to my friend? I said, yeah. So we went over and talked to her, prayed for her. And she started responding. So a couple weeks later, they call me. I'm back down there. Said, we got some questions. So we prayed for her, and then I think I prayed for you. So a couple weeks later, I'm back down there praying for her. And he said, I've never seen God do anything, but I've seen that, because she was starting to get better then. And then he said, can I go to church? I said, well, yeah. So then he became our computer guy. And he wasn't born again. And he had a ministry in the church. Quit playing church and get real about stuff. He was taking care of what I needed taken care of. God was taking care of what he needed taken care of. Pretty soon he got born again. And everybody else wandered in too. See, that's how God does things. But it takes little old you getting out there and shaking up the bushes. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us on a daily basis. Father, we pray for those that have wandered off, that are seeking signs and wonders but not following the word. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over those. Father, we call them back into the church that they don't get led astray, that they will get rooted in the word. Father, we know that there's a lot of false prophets running around. We come against those in the name of Jesus. We call them to be brought to naught. And Father, that the Christians that get deceived, that they'll come back in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right.